Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
We're just having a conversation over here. How are you doing this morning? You feeling good? Worship was good, yeah? Jesus is alive, yeah? Tell your neighbor you're going to get something today. Woo! How could you be in the presence of God and something not happen? Show me that in Scripture. Show me in Scripture where God, you know, gathers people and does nothing. Yeah? Is it in? I don't think it's in there, is it? We should be people of the Word, right? Who thinks we should be people of the Word? Anybody here believe the Bible is true? Yay. I believe the Bible is true. I believe we should God in His mercy told us to follow Him, knowing that sometimes we don't get it right. He wrote some stuff down. It's not everything, but it's some guardrails. Amen? They're guardrails. Don't get too far to the right. Don't get too far to the left. If you need the guardrail, you're probably doing things wrong, right? But the guardrail keeps you out of the canal. I'm thankful for the guardrail. But the guardrail isn't all there is. The real is the road, the way, right? So we can watch the guardrail or we can just watch the way, Jesus Christ, right? So I'm thankful for the road. For the guardrail. I'm thankful for the word. I'm thankful that God sent it because, you know, we're sometimes slow to respond. But at the same point, as I study the Word of God, I don't see God showing up and nothing happening. I just don't see it happening. I'm not going to do a Bible study looking for that. I'm not looking for God to do nothing. I'm looking for God to do something. Are you with me? So we want God to do something, right? God is doing something in our midst. We're in a really, just a neat season. I like being in good seasons. I like being in spring when stuff grows. Right? Right now it's been raining a lot. My yard looks a little crazy. Franz, the guy who comes and cuts my grass, I don't know if he's been on vacation or just my grass is growing like crazy. But you know, when the ground is fertile, everything grows. So I see all my luscious grass and I see all my weeds, which is kind of annoying me a little bit because everything grows. Some of the stuff that grows is good. Sometimes we want the not good things in our lives to grow so we can see them a little more readily, right? Don't be upset in a season that you're seeing the ugly in you. God is letting the ugly come up so you know what to trim. Right? You don't want to just be there and you don't know it's there, right? Because other people see it. I want to see it so I can get it trimmed, right? I tell couples that go to marriage counseling, hey, just to let you know, you're going to go to marriage counseling and things are going to get worse. Who knows what I'm talking about? You're going to go to counseling and things are going to get worse. They're like, why would I go? Because now you're going to find out what the problem is. And the stuff that you've refused to talk about, you're going to start talking about it, and you might get a little bitter. So you're going to deal with your heart. They're going to deal with their issues. You're going to deal with your issues. But we can't deal with stuff till it comes to the surface. Yeah. Right? Before you go to marriage counseling, you can deny that it's there. After marriage counseling, it comes into the open. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody's been to counseling. Hallelujah. Right? You keep going, things get better, though. Keep going, things get better. Stop going, you can avoid it, and then you get to live in a delusion. That's not as much fun as living in truth. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. We're in our Shine message series. And of course, we get this from Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Says, the Lord make His face, what? Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you? Peace. What's the Lord want to give you? Peace. We need that more than we need money. You need peace more than you need money. You need peace more than you need favor even. You need peace more than you need any provision. We need peace. The enemy is warring against your peace. The enemy is really good at sowing things that will distract you from peace. I don't know if you know this, but peace is always there. It doesn't go anywhere. Your connection and trust in peace leaves. The enemy brings distractions from peace, but peace doesn't go anywhere. Because the Prince of Peace isn't going anywhere. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? And it's His desire that we have what? Peace. And so we can stop looking at the Prince of Peace and start looking at something else, but the peace didn't go anywhere. Our attention did. Are you with me? And so God wants us to have peace. He doesn't want us living lives of chaos, lives of turmoil, lives of fear, lives of confusion, lives of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. He wants us to live lives of peace. And the enemy is very good at warring against your peace. The enemy is very good at causing you to blame your problems on other people. And so we go to marriage counseling, and the stuff that's been hidden comes out, and we get a choice of, are we going to deal with these things, or are we going to say things are worse than I thought and bail? Right? That's what we do. We need to stay. Let God finish what He wants to do, because the enemy, how many of you know when you run, the problem goes with you? But now you don't have a community to work it out with. That's why toxic churches and I'm going to use this phrase loosely, weirdly spiritual churches are so damaging, because it not only corrupts your relationship with Jesus, it erodes the community you're supposed to walk it out in. Right? So you come out of, you know, of a toxic church background, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I had me, Jesus, and people, and I trusted people, and now I realize that they weren't actually for me, and now I don't know who to believe, right? Hallelujah, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not sure who that's for, but God will heal that. He'll bring you somewhere safe. He'll bring you somewhere peaceful. He's done it for me. He'll do it for you, right? We might do it together, right? Walk it out together. Who likes that? Yeah, amen. Give it up for Jesus. But in this prayer of our message series, it talks about God shining His face on us, His countenance, which is literally the light of His face, being upon us and giving us peace, where God looks, where God shows up, where God manifests His presence. Two things happen. Number one, bad stuff comes to the surface and good stuff comes to the surface. That's what happens when God shows up. God shows up, everything rises up so that we get to deal with the bad and focus on the good. There's branches of Christianity that only focus on bad stuff that rises up. God's presence comes, and we're just going to talk to demons. We're going to command demons. We're going to talk about the enemy. We're going to rebuke the devil. Yes, there is a time for that. Yes. But even more so, we need to focus on what God is doing. We need to look at what God is increasing. You go in marriage counseling again, and bad stuff manifests, but also you find out that your partner actually has a commitment to the relationship. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on that. You meet someone who loves Jesus and they have issues, what are we going to focus on? That they love Jesus or that they have issues? Let's focus on that they love Jesus. And as we connect, let's let that grow. And eventually, like the weeds in my front yard, the good grass will choke it out. I'm going to continue to put weed and feed on my lawn. It's going to overgrow, and hopefully Franz is going to come more often and cut it all. But I'm hoping that it will choke out the weeds with the lush green grass that makes my neighbors jealous, right? I'm going to provoke them to say, there's something different about your lawn. What is it? And I'll say, it's Jesus. No, I won't, actually. I'll say, it's Scott's feed and seed, right? Feed and weed, weed and seed, whatever it's called. It's expensive, but I use it. Are you with me, though? Are we on the same page here? But listen, this peace coming from Jesus has to look like something. It's not just something we quote. It's not just some thing. It's a magical, mystical thing that's out there that we believe that isn't actually real. It's supposed to look like something in your life. The promise of God is supposed to look like something in your life. What God wants to do on the earth has to look like something in your life. It has to manifest somehow. It has to be different than what people living without Jesus, right? And it's not just a feeling. It's not just something you believe. It's not just something you understand. It's not just cerebral. It's real in this realm. As we look in Hebrews, they kind of talk about it. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, and if you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to be there shortly. But in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, the writer says this. It says, also God, testifying with them by both signs and wonders, various miracles, Come on, this is getting good. Various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So we want to talk about how this shining of God's face upon you manifests. Let's look at this verse again. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. It says, God also testifying what? Let's say it together. God testifying with them. So we can read that two ways. We can say God testifying with them, or we can say God testifying with them. God wants to testify to the world that he's alive with you. He wants to testify to the world with us. He wants us to be his testimony that he's alive. Think about this. God wants to testify to the world with who? Say, with me. Let's put me in there. God testifying to the world with
me.
With me. God wants you to be his testimony that he is alive. He wants you to be his testimony. God testifying to the world with you. Now, all of a sudden, when you look at the scripture through that lens, because the them was somebody. It was somebody real. Somebody who was born from a man and a woman, who lived their lives, who had bills to pay and had kids to take care of and had animals to raise and had a life to live. And the Bible says that God testified with them. Normal people. We can kind of deify everything in the scripture as if these are special God people and it's not really applicable to us. And then Christianity becomes one big history story. And the person who's memorized the most history gets the history prize or something. And that's not what Christianity is. Amen? Hear me. That's not what Christianity is. These aren't special, special people that God created with different DNA so that they could do something that you were never called to do. And whoever, you know, just if we love God, we'll memorize what he did in the past. We remember the story of what happened. Like when you become an American citizen, you have to know the history of our nation, right? Why do they want the people who become citizens to study our history? Because they want you to know what it cost for us to live in this thing that we have right now. And we want you to perpetuate it in the next generation, right? We don't want you to have another revolution. We don't need to write a new constitution, but we do need to live in what we have. And so these scriptures don't talk about, it's not just a history lesson, that what we had. God testifying with us to the world. How did God testify? If God is choosing to bring testimony, right, in a court case, they might have an expert witness show up, right? And if it's a car crash, they might have some charts that he shows, you know, how the accident happened, or it might have an engineer showing the graphs and tables or different video evidence, or he might testify a certain way. And so God is testifying to the world with you. How does he want to do that? Well, I just want you to look, there's something different about them. There's something different, just something different about them. And then the world, every 10, 12, 15 years, someone might ask you, there's something different. I don't know if you know this, but I almost have never had anybody come up to me and say, there's just something different about you. But people pray that all the time. Like this passive, God, make other people evangelize toward me instead of me actually doing the thing that you saved me and told me to do. I pray that you would do it, God, and you would make other people do what you called me to do as a believer. How about the lost people who aren't saved, Lord? Have them be the courageous ones in come to. So Holy Spirit, even though you told me to go out and tell people, why don't you tell people, God? I got an idea, God. How about you tell people instead of me? Tell them to come to me. And this isn't in the Bible. We may need to get awkward. Christianity is awkward. Does anybody know that? It's awkward. It's not like the world. Because the prince of the fallen is not the same as the prince of the saved. Of course we're going to be different. Hello. That's a good word. So here, how does he want to testify with them? How does he want to do this? Watch this. This is pretty interesting. Both by signs and wonders. How many of you get prophetic signs in your life? And wonders. I would settle for a prophetic sign. I would settle for one prophetic sign. I'd be happy with one. If I get one every couple months, I'm pretty excited. How about you? If I got one, I'm pretty excited. But he said he did it with signs and wonders. You know what that means? They're going to do, God's going to do some stuff through you that you're not going to understand. How well do you have to be a follower of Christ to do stuff he tells you to do that you don't understand and other people don't understand? Nobody understands, but you do it anyways. How awkward do you have to get to do that? Why'd you do that? I don't know. I just felt like God told me to do it. Well, I'm wondering about that. Yeah, me too. Just letting you know. It's not because I'm spiritual. I just felt like I was supposed to do that. I was having a conversation with someone recently. I had a prophetic word for someone, and I knew I was supposed to give it publicly. And I gave it to them. I asked them to stand up, and I gave them this word. And I said in the middle of the word, I have no idea what this means. I have no idea what this means, but I'm telling you this word. And I was talking about it with someone else over lunch a week or two later, and they were like, so when were you praying and you just, you know, decided you were going to do, did you know what this person was going through? I said, no, I didn't know anything about it. I just was, that night before, the Lord said, you're going to prophesy tomorrow. I said, okay, I guess we're going to prophesy. And I got up there, and I didn't have anything. And then the Lord told me to say that, and I didn't understand what it meant, and I still don't understand what it means. I hope it means something. And so it was like 2 months later, I'm having lunch with the person, and they're like, I need you to understand what happened with this word. I'm like, I would love to know what happened, because I'm still wondering. And this weird word was exactly what was happening. And the person had said to God, God, I never ask you this. I never, ever, I don't do this, but you got to confirm that this is you. And the next day I say, hey, I got this word. Within a couple days, I said, hey, this is what I hear the Lord saying over you. But that was a wonder to me. It was a wonder to you all. It wasn't a wonder to God. Amen. And he's the one in charge. We come on. Amen. If you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. Come on. But if he's going to confirm with signs and wonders, and at some point we're going to have to say, I'm just going to have to do stuff that makes me wonder. He's going to tell you to give money to somebody who is not faithful with their money. And you're like, I don't make any sense to me, God. They're just going to waste it. But he's the God. He likes to act like that. He likes to feel like he's God in our lives, right? He likes to be the God. He may tell you to give money to somebody who's going to spend it on alcohol. Why would he do that? Because he's God. And God does whatever he wants. And he's working on levels we're not working on. I don't have time to go down that path. So he says both signs and what both, to me, both means two, but he says both signs and wonders, I would settle for one of those, and various miracles. He's going to testify to the world with signs through you, say through me, with signs and wonders and various miracles. Not just one miracle, and not just one kind of miracle. Did you know there were various kinds of miracles? I know because the scripture says there are. I just would be happy with any miracle. One little miracle, just an itsy-bitsy miracle would be awesome. But he said, no, not just one, various miracles. He's going to testify with you for various miracles. Now, let me give you a hint. Anything God gives you, you can give away. And if you give it away, you actually get more of it. Anything God gives you, you can give away. If he gives you peace, you could give away peace. Share your peace. Pray for people. If you get breakthrough, you give away breakthrough. You get love from God, you can give away love. You can, anything God does in your life, he wants to do through you. Let me say it this way. He wants to testify to the world with you. With what he's done in your life. He wants to do it with you to the world. People who do not know him. You do not have access, Joe, away from God guy. But I do. And God has given me a free gift of miracle. And so I give you miracle. And when I connect you with the supernatural power of God, and all of a sudden Holy Spirit is on you, and he will convict the world of righteousness, sin, and judgment. Amen? Amen. And that's how they get saved. You don't have to go tell them about hell. You just give them what God gave you. And Holy Ghost gets on them. It's like pollen that they can't get off. It's like a sticky residue of the Holy Ghost gets on them. And they can't get it off. And then he actually begins to talk through the miracle. That's what we want in our life. But various miracles. Various miracles. He wants to testify. You need to give it away. If you have a testimony, a miracle testimony in your life, do not be embarrassed that you needed the testimony. It's possible that God let you get set up so he could do the testimony through you. If you're in a place now that you need a miracle, don't be mad at God. Ask him for the miracle. Promise him you'll give the miracle away. Come on. It's a good word. I will give this away. If you're terrified to do something and you know you got to do it anyway, then, oh, Lord, I'm going to go do it and I'm going to give away courage to do this kind of thing. Out there, people out there who don't know him, who have no access. We want to give it away. So he says here, he testified with them both signs, wonders, various miracles by gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with some others that are scattered a little bit throughout other parts of the scripture. God manifests those to point to him. You know you've gotten off base when you think the miracles, signs, wonders, and gifts point to your amazingness. If you think they point to your amazingness, you've missed the mark. Got too many ministers who are getting validation through their ministry. And it becomes a temple to themselves. It's a problem. It's a pitfall of anyone in ministry. If you feel called to ministry, better learn how to give glory to Jesus for what he does through you. When you get the breakthrough in ministry, you better learn how to go home and get on your face and give it all back to him. Otherwise, you're going to put it in your pocket and look at it now and then and think that makes you amazing. And it is a pitfall. Are you hearing me? But he wants to do signs and wonders through you. I know that he does signs and wonders because he's using me. And it makes me wonder. Makes me wonder. I would get Facebook messages from people I knew when I was younger. And they're like, wait a minute, is this the Carl Thomas that I knew growing up? Yes. God is using me. They're like, I don't understand how that's happening. Me neither. It's a wonder. It is truly a wonder. There's people more qualified who pray harder, who have been more righteous their entire lives. And somehow God is using me. God can use me, I can confidently say God can use you. If he can use me, there is no one he can't use. Amen? I amaze myself sometimes that he uses me. I just sit in bed at night and I'm like, how is this possible, honey? I don't understand what's happening. She's like, this is how it works, honey. This is how God uses you. I'm like, I know. I don't know how that happens. Like, God's arms are even longer than I thought they were, that he could stretch out even to me. I am just amazed. Are you with me? But here's a phrase I want us to latch on to. He says, he says that he testifies with them both signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Watch this part. According to what? His own will. Let's say it again. According to his own will. It means it's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about you and me. He wants to testify to the world with you according to his will. Whatever amazing gift you may have put on the altar of your ego that you want because you can be amazing, you may never walk in that gift. Because it's according to his will. And if you walk in the gift that he has for you, it will be far more fulfilling anyways. Are you hearing me? I am not a teacher. In Ephesians chapter 4, we hear about the fivefold ministry Jesus gave to the church. Teaching is not a predominant gift of mine at all. Lots of people want me to have Bible studies and teaching, and I'm just like, there ain't a chance that's going to happen. I study the Bible a lot. For me, as the Spirit leads, preparing a Bible study for other people, I just would be like, yeah, I tell you what, maybe the season of ministry is over for me. I am not going down that road. And so you know what that means? If you're like, no, we need, you know, I love Bible study. I love it. Well, that's probably what God has called you to. Okay, let me say it this way. Whatever you think that I should be doing is probably what you're called to do. Hey, Pastor, how are we doing this? I don't know. How are you doing it? Because I'm doing what I feel called to do. I'm not doing what you feel called to do. That goes back to that God sent us to witness to the world, so we're telling God to witness to the world to come to us. And no, you like, oh, you should be doing this, Pastor. No, you probably should be doing this. Amen? Amen? So wherever you see the fault in this house, that's probably what you're called to do. Why you notice it? That's why you notice it. Are you with me? Yeah. Hey, just so you, in case you didn't know, there's kids on the other side of this wall. Right on the other side. And we love them. Amen? And they're going to make some noise. They're kids. And we're going to reiterate this over the weeks. We're not going to tell them to be quiet because the last thing, if we have an amazing time and we raise a generation of kids who hate church, we have failed. Amen? Are you with me? Amen? I want our kids to love Jesus when they become adults. I feel like I can listen past the kids. Yeah?
They could stop screaming a little bit.
But, you know, they... If I, you know. All right, so I'm running out of time. Let's dive into the Word. Are you with me? Here's what I want you to see through this scripture. It says, according to His will. That needs to tell you that it's His will to work through your life. Let me say it again. It's His will to work through your life. It's according to His will. It's His will to work through your life to the world. He wants you to be a conduit of Holy Spirit to the world. God is playing an active role in bringing your call to pass. He didn't just spin the earth and then go hide off in heaven. He didn't save you and then hide off in heaven. He's playing an active role in bringing your call to pass. Even in this season, even those who feel like you're in a dry season or you're in a season of warfare, I heard so very clearly, we were on the third song. I don't remember what the third song was, but I had a tongue, and the Lord began to speak to me. He said, you know, the season of warfare is coming to an end. I heard it as clear as day, and as I'm telling you now, I feel the Holy Ghost. The season of warfare is coming to an end. And guess what? When God says it's coming to an end, it's coming to an end. It's like when you tell your two-year-old we're leaving now, and they're like, no. You're like, no, we're leaving now. Your no is irrelevant. When God says the season of warfare is coming to an end, you know what that means? You know what that means? Come on. Daddy said it's coming to an end. Daddy said it's coming to an end. Come on. He's grabbing your hand. And he's taking you out of the room of warfare. It's time to go. You like it or not, it's coming to an end. I felt it so strong. Come on. I feel the Holy Spirit testifying to that right now as I speak it. Sweet Jesus, that's good news for somebody. Come on. I take it myself. But God is playing an active role. And bring, wow, that's good. Woo, ha, just take it right now. I receive it for my life. Take a deep breath. Don't need to stress about it anymore. It's coming to an end. Stress, I no longer need you. Your job here is done. Just let fear know your job here is done. You can now leave because God has spoken. I'm no longer going to use you. Your job here is done. Are you with me? God is playing an active role in bringing your call to pass. I want you to see this. Like, imagine you got hired at a large company, right? A large corporation, and you get hired in the ground floor, and you feel like, you know, you went to college for this thing, and you know what you want to do, but you're starting, like, in the mailroom. And the CEO comes up to you, and they say, hey, I want to play an active role in your career. That'd be good news, right? Yeah. That would be encouraging to me. I'm like, wow, if the CEO is playing an active role in my career, it's probably going to go well. God is playing an active role in bringing your call to pass. The King of heaven and earth. Right? You know, like we're a natural being here on this earth, but we're also a spiritual being. Right? And we're ignorant sometimes of what's happening in the spirit realm. And Jesus is King of the spirit realm. Right? There's false spiritual things, and they think they have power, but they really don't. Because Jesus has all authority. Right? And he gave a bunch of it to us. That means the enemy doesn't have any. Right? If he has all, that means the enemy has none. And so the King of heaven and earth is playing an active part in you being promoted in his kingdom. Amen. That's probably pretty good, right? Yeah. That should be encouraging to you. Yeah. So my goal today, as I'm trying to hurry into what I want to talk about, I'm almost done with the introduction. My goal today is to provoke faith for dreams, for visions, for prophetic signs in your life. That God will begin to actively show you what he's doing in your walk in the spirit realm. Amen? That's our goal for today. Now, I am talking, I'm using words, but I am trusting that Holy Spirit is in the room right now. And as I am speaking words, He is speaking life to your spirit man. If you'll stay focused and you'll stay one ear on me, one ear on God, if you'll be attentive to what Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit man today, He's going to bring something to life. Amen? That's a good word. He's going to bring something to life today in you. And as we've done this message series, I've already gotten emails and phone calls of people beginning to get very significant prophetic dreams, prophetic occurrences. You know, there are no coincidences in the kingdom. You know that, right? You know that, right? There's no coincidences in the kingdom. There are prophetic signs, and prophetic signs have come to increase. People are getting just prophetic signs that, whoa, that's wild. That's a little crazy. And so I'm believing that this will be further provoked in your life today. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's read in the Bible in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read just a few scriptures and we're going to dive in. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. The Word of God says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Now, verse 22, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means God with us." Verse 24, "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Amen, amen, amen. Now, last week, I talked about five points in coming into what God has for us. That went so well, I have six today. Amen? Abundance is happening in our midst. That's a good word. Thank you, Mike. That's a good word. We got six points in this today. I'm going to go quickly. Is your faith ready? Is your faith on point? Are you ready to be provoked today? Come on, God's going, God's going to do something. First thing, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is important. Every great work of God is started by God. Every great work of God is started by God. We think we came up with great ideas. More often than not, we come up with ideas that we think are going to promote us, right? But every great work of God, God speaks first. Let's look in the Bible here, Matthew 1:18. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by who? By God. God started the whole thing. God impregnated Mary with his spirit somehow. How did he do that, Pastor? I have no idea. But I don't know how he formed the earth either. I don't know how he gave me life. I don't know how he brought me out of darkness, right? I certainly don't understand how he impregnated Mary, right? I still don't know how he saved me. I still don't know how that happened. I still don't get it, Mike. I don't get it, Diane. I don't know how he saved me. I don't understand that, but guess what? I know it's true. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I know that I know that I know that I'm called. I know that Tracy is called to be my wife. I know these things in my knower. I can't explain to you why, but I know that it's true. I know that Mary was a virgin and had Jesus. I know that to be true. I do not understand how it happened. You don't have to have an answer for everything when you're witnessing to people. We try to take the faith out of it and try to get all logical, like logic is going to win somebody to Jesus. Logic isn't going to win anybody to Jesus. There are false Christian faiths, and I don't know if you know this, but they have books on witnessing, and they'll say, well, if somebody says this, then you say one of these three things. And they just study these books on witnessing. Why? Because Holy Spirit is not helping them. So they have to memorize these books on how to logically convince somebody that they're wrong and you're right. I don't have to do that ever. Holy Spirit will witness on his own. I just speak the word. Spirit agrees. I say one thing, they hear something else. God knows how to work it all together. I don't know how that works, but I know it does. God, when he wants to start something, he starts something right on his own. We started this church as an outreach in my condo. That don't make no sense. Everybody I knew was launching big. Oh, you need to have at least 300 people, and it takes $200,000 to launch a church these days. I'm like, well, I don't have $200,000. I don't have any $1,000. I'm broke. I am dead broke. I got no $1,000. None. I don't have $1,000. I don't have anything. I am broke. When we started this thing, I was broke, coming out of losing my mind about. I'm working at UPS loading trucks because I couldn't find another job. And I'm launching a church. That don't make no sense. But God, amen. But God. But God told us to. That wasn't a good season. But God. But God. It's never going to be convenient when God tells you to do something. Because you have your plan. And he still thinks he's God. He's looking at your little book of what you plan to do. He's like, that's funny. That's nice. Isn't that cute? That's cool. Whatever. Go do this. I'm like, that's not in the plan, God. No, it's not in your plan. I haven't told you my plan till just now, so it actually is in the plan. I don't know if you know how this is supposed to work. I know the end from the beginning. I don't know if you know that. I got this thing. I'm God. Are you with me? But I want you to see this. God impregnates man with his will. God impregnates man with his will. He starts it and he puts it in you as a seed, as a thought, as an idea, as a dream, as a what if. As a what if. One day you're just there and you're just in worship and the Spirit of God is there and you get a what if. You think that could be God in the midst of his presence putting a dream in you that you couldn't do on your own? It all starts with God. And God really likes to set up people to do stuff they can't do. To witness to the world that he is God. I'm telling you, if you don't think God can do miracles, I want you to think about me standing here in ministry. Like this, I just want you to think of that. You know, I mean, I'm not a good candidate for this. But God, amen? You're not a candidate for what he called you to do. But God. The same God. But God. Every great work of God is started by God, and he puts it in man's heart. He impregnates you with his will. Jesus came on the scene, but God started it. Mary can't take glory. God did that thing. And you're like, I don't even know what to do with it. You told me to do this thing. I don't know. Listen, you don't have to know everything. You just got to be obedient to God. Write this down. The Lord will give wisdom and guidance to steward what he births. The Lord will give wisdom and guidance to steward what he births. Just because he told you to do something, you start doing it, doesn't mean you get to stop listening to him. He wants you to live at the very edge of your faith, needing him to talk you through the entire thing. He wants you to do the God thing dependent on him for the provision of the entire thing. He's not setting you up to not need him. He's not sending you out to go do something so you won't need him. I got an idea. I know the answer to your financial issue. I'm going to set you up so you don't need me anymore. Does that sound like God to you? No, I'm going to put you farther out to sea in a bigger ocean with more waves. But God, I might drown. Exactly, you better be connected to me. Otherwise, you're going to think that you're the great yachtsman, right? You're going to think that you're the great sailor. Oh, I don't even need God anymore. I'm sailing this thing so well. No, we want to live lives that glorify him, that bring glory to his name. And he wants us to live so far on the edge that, like, without him, we are going to fail. Amen? There should be areas of your life that you are doing stuff in faith, not weird, in faith, doing stuff, connected to people, you know, following God. But at the same point, If God doesn't keep it going, it is going to crash and burn. That's where you want to live. Now, I don't live everything like that. I'm going to be honest. I like a little rest and relaxation. I'm pretty sure my marriage is going to survive. I don't need God's constant intervention to keep married, right? Like, I want to live a life that's keeping me married. Are you hearing me? Like, I'm doing this, so I need God. No, that's not exactly what I'm talking about, right? But, I've met with people, and when you're in ministry, you're going to have lots of really wise people telling you stuff that is not going to work for you. You better know what God wants to do with you. God may be calling some of you. Your ministry is a living room with 10 people that you're ministering to. Other people, man, you don't have a stadium big enough for what I want to do. You better know which of those is your call. You better know which one, because God does both. And you better be happy with the one he's called you to. You better be doing it. You hear me? Don't compare, like I said last week, don't compare yourself to anyone but the old you. Matthew 1:20, he says, when Joseph had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God will give wisdom and guidance to steward what he births. Now in Joseph, we see here, at the very beginning of Christianity, he visits people with angels. The Lord sent an angel, the angel of the Lord. Now some people, as you parse the scripture here, that some people could argue that was Jesus himself, which would be weird because Jesus was in the womb, but that's neither here nor there. Because God does something I don't understand. But an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. An angel, now hear me, he didn't have a dream about an angel. The Bible didn't say he had a dream of an angel. It says an angel visited him in a dream. Now, a dream is not a physical location. They didn't say he visited him in Miami, visited him in his kitchen, visited him in his dream. Some of you, God wants to visit you when you're out of the way. Right? You get out of the way, you're sleeping, he will visit you. Remember, there is a spirit realm. There is a real spirit realm that's actually more real than this natural realm. Because that's the truth. And God will visit you in your dream. He'll visit you in dreams and visions. He'll visit you in the spirit realm. The Bible talks about sometimes we entertain people, we didn't even know we were talking to angels. How does that work? I don't know. It's odd. I've just heard enough testimonies of people that have had this happen that I know it to be true. I know it to be true. Can I tell you a weird story from yesterday? I'm going to tell you anyways. I don't have a lot of time for stories. So this is really odd. Yesterday, I was home by myself. My wife left. And I'm outside doing something. And I go back into my garage. And I go to my back door to my house. And it was locked. Now, my family has a history of locking me out of the house because they see the garage door unlocked and they lock it. There's a certain branch of my family that things have to be a certain way and they see the garage door unlocked and they lock it. That was the second time yesterday I had been locked out of the house. This happens with frequency and I'm just like, and I was slightly irritated because I didn't have a key and people were gone for a long time. So I'm feeling kind of sorry for myself. And I pray in the Holy Ghost. I hear the Lord say, try it again. And I go and the door opens right up. Now that's weird, right? Why would God do that? Why would God? Well, he had a reason for it. Now here's the next time. So my son was out doing some stuff last night with some friends. And he came home and he didn't have a key. And I'm like, how's that feel? No, I didn't say that. The Lord is teaching you, his vengeance is now upon you for locking out your dad. No. So my wife and I were in the car and we had to go somewhere to go pick up my daughter, right? And just as we're driving, we're beginning to drive, we say, no, let's just see if Isaac, what he's up to, right? And so we text him. And he texts back. He says, actually, I forgot my key. I'm locked out of the house. This happened right as we were about to pass the street next to our house. And so we just drive, oh, wait, we're just by the house. What do you know? We just stopped by the house. And I say, what happened, son? He goes, well, I found out I was locked out of the house, and I began praying in tongues. He's praying in tongues, and within a minute, he gets a text from us. Hey, what you up to? We didn't even know he was home yet. You hear what I'm telling you? Now, we could take lots of lessons from this. God has opened doors for you to get to your house. In the Father's house, you have open access to your Father's house. Amen. Are you with me? But God is doing supernatural things in the world, in our lives. And now I might say, well, that's a small thing. Unless you're locked out of the house, then it's kind of a big thing. It's hot in South Florida. I don't want to be locked out. And there's bugs. I don't want to be out in the hot bugs. You start sweating. They smell the sweat. They're excited about it, you know? Oh, it's party time on Carl, right? Like, I don't want to be locked out. It's hot. I was getting funky. I don't want to be outside. Listen, don't get safe. Don't get safe when God starts doing something supernatural. Don't be like, I was operating in faith, but now God is doing something, so I better get safe. Safe isn't what got you where you're going. Amen. Living on the edge, like, okay, I've been giving, and now God is starting to bless us, and let's protect what God has given us. No, that's a lie. Yeah. You continue to be generous. Yeah. You hear what I'm telling you? You continue to give it away. You continue to do what God has done in your life. You continue to dream bigger. God wants your miracle to be the foundation of the next miracle, the platform. He don't want you to live on the first floor forever. Amen? He gives you another miracle. You stand on top of that miracle, and you dream for the next one. Are you with me? Amen? Yeah, no, if you're going to do it, do it. Come on, give it up. Hallelujah. So he'll give wisdom and guidance. And so the pitfall of that, now each breakthrough in God can bring another pitfall that you need to be wary of. So once you get the breakthrough, all of a sudden we start feeling ourselves, right? Like, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty amazing here. People don't understand the gift that's happening in me. People don't understand me. They don't got me. Maybe I should go out alone. Yeah, no. Watch this. Stay connected to God's leaders in your life. Stay connected to God's leaders. Write it down. Stay connected to God's leaders in my life. Here's just a crazy scripture. Matthew 1:22. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Prophets have real power. And what they speak actually has power. So you might want to make sure the people prophesying in your life actually are tracking with God for your life. There's people who have amazing prophetic ministries, but every prophecy they give sounds the same. And if it's stadiums that they're prophesying and you're called to the living room, your life is going to be a mess. Don't just chase after the stadium words. Listen, I'm into gardening. I garden sometimes better than others. But it's possible to create an artificial environment for plants to get big with almost no roots. It's pretty neat. You can grow them in an artificial environment like a greenhouse. And then you bring in chemicals via water. You can do like an aquaponic system. And they can get very large and lush. And it's really, really neat. However, they couldn't actually survive in the real world. Right? A wind would come. They would blow right over because they don't have any root structure to them. And it's possible in Christianity today to have an artificial spirituality that won't actually stand against the enemy. But you'll think that you're bearing so much fruit that you're amazing. But as soon as the winds come and the bugs come and the stress of life comes, all of a sudden it's dying. It's neat. You can grow a plant in a greenhouse, but you have to what they call harden it off before you can put it under the real sun. Because if you don't, it will burn it and die. And so you think you're strong and you're in this and it's kind of like that conference Christianity. You're running from greenhouse to greenhouse. It has an artificial environment. Now, conference is going to be amazing. Corey Russell is going to be next Saturday. I'm going to be Corey Russell up at Pastor Benz's church up at Covenant Center. If you've got time, I will go. And so you go to like a conference, and there's an artificial environment there, right? We're all running after God. We're going to go for it. I don't know anybody here. They don't know me. I just get to run after God. That's great. It's just not a real environment where we grow in Christianity. Now, you'll get some nutrients there that you may not be getting on the regular. You might get a little extra water or refreshing. God may add something to you that you don't normally have, you know, like a fertilizer. Fertilizer is artificially making the ground more fertile, right? It makes it, but you can't live in fertilizer. If you live in fertilizer, it's toxic and you die. Fertilizer has to be added to healthy ground. Otherwise, it's poison. And so there's an absolute place for these artificial environments, but you can't live there. That can't be the hallmark of your Christianity. You have to actually be connected to people who know your life. You have to stay long-term connected to people. And the bad thing about churches, there's people in them, and people can disappoint us, and we'll find out, like they're not perfect. Right? And there's two options we have when we find that out. In our house, we've just decided ahead of time to let you know we're not perfect. Because you're going to find out eventually. And if I'm faking it long enough, you're going to find out and get disappointed and leave. Guess what? I just want to disappoint you right now. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all worked out. I don't do everything perfectly. I don't have every gift in the Bible. I don't occupy every office in the Bible. I don't know what every dream means. I don't have every scripture memorized. You come up to me, oh, Pastor, what do you think Ezekiel 4:12 is? I'm like, I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on in 4:12. Like, I just gonna break that down for me. Like, oh, you're the pastor. Yeah, God has called me to do this, not memorize the book, right? That's not what he called me to do. Sorry if that's disappointing to you. If you think that's the role, if you think that's my job to memorize the Bible, I know what your call is. Tell me what Ezekiel 4:12 is, right? Like, right? Like, I'm going to, like, none of us are perfect. I mean, we should have some things worked out, amen? But none of us are perfect. And so we have two options. We can either fake being perfect and try to hide ourselves from the people, or we can just say, hey, guess what? I'm actually qualified to be in this position, but I'm far from perfect. That's what we've chosen to do here in this house. Like, we're just regular people. And so that means you get to fail here, and no one's going to cast you out. You get to have issues, and we're not going to say, oh, you're not a Christian. Like, oh, you're clearly not saved. Oh, you can't. Like in this house, you get to have problems. And what we found is when we've just accepted the fact that none of us are perfect, we get to actually talk about our imperfections without judgment. Are you with me? Yeah? And so we need to stay connected to people. Now, if you're going to be in the fake church system that I just talked about, you probably don't want to be too connected to people because they're going to find out you're not perfect and they're going to sit you down. Because you're not faking it well enough. And a lot of churches, you got to learn how to fake it. Like, that's more important than learning the Bible. You better learn how to fake it. Broke people with expensive clothes to look good in church, that makes no sense to me. Okay, that's not what I'm called to talk about. Well, I'm not going there. Thank you, Jesus. But the real prophetic word over your life is going to come to pass. You may not be meeting the conditions right now, but it will come to pass. You better stay connected to where it came from, though. You got to let God finish the work he started in your life. You have to stop running around. People uproot themselves constantly and wonder why they're not growing. Oh, maybe I'm supposed to go to there. Maybe, no, just stay still. God, just let God know where you're going to be for a little bit. Look, God, I mean, if you feel you have a great call in your life, I feel like I have a great call in life. I hope you do too. Right? I feel like the call of God in my life is such that I'm going to stay still long enough that he's just going to bring people around me to build me up. Like, I'm right here, God. I'm right where you told me to be. I'm not going anywhere. And you will add what I need right here. No, you are going to do what you need to do to work this thing through my life. You will add the people to my life to get this done. Pastor Norman Benz is like a one of the spiritual fathers in my life. Love him. Covenant Center in North Palm. I got connected to him through me asking him to quit spamming me. Got an email a group email to pastors, and then every pastor started promoting their little thing. I'm like, hey, can we stop this? Because can anybody figure out how to do a blind carbon copy and stop doing this to me? Like, stop giving out my email to people who want to promote. Like, I kind of went at him a little bit. I didn't even know the man, but I was tired of being spammed. And he said, hey, I'm sorry, I'll have my secretary do whatever. And I sent him back. I said, hey, listen, I didn't mean to be snarky like that. I was actually just this morning praying that the Lord would add local ministers, and specifically older local ministers, to my life. So I had to humble myself, right? And he responded, he's like, wow, I feel like this is God. And we have had a close relationship ever since. Right? I just believe. I'm just praying, hey, God, I need this. He's like, okay, I got that for you. I didn't recognize it when he first did it, but I stayed connected. God reached me through spam. Can you believe that? Sometimes the spam is not spam. He's amazing that way, right? But if God has spoken a real prophetic word over your life, don't throw it away. I know sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's a little painful. It's like a little disappointing that it hasn't come to pass yet, right? He's not done. You don't know what part of the process you're in. Like in our mind, it goes like this, you know, we get it here and it just kind of, but that's not how it works with God. He like does this sometimes, you know what I mean? Like nothing, 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 something. And as a pastor, the Lord doesn't always let me tell people where they are. Sometimes I'll just see it and I'll be like, wow, you're on the precipice of breakthrough. And they're like, oh, I got to go somewhere else. I'm like, oh, well, have fun the next place. Starting all over again. How's that working out for you? Stay planted. Stay rooted. Grow some roots. Are you with me? Next thing. I'm almost done. Not really, but I'm almost done. Okay, so as we're going along, don't let your feelings dictate where you are in the process. Keep looking for signs. Keep looking for God signs. Keep looking for the signs. The Magi, they knew that the Messiah was coming. I don't have time to teach on it right now, but Daniel prophesied it, and we know that Joseph was there telling them about what was going on, and the Magi, so many hundreds of years later, were looking for the sign that they knew was going to come to pass. And they saw the sign, the star, the bright star in the sky. The Magi, that's short for magicians. They saw the prophetic sign. And the Bible says in Matthew 2:2, they're asked, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his sign in the east and have come to worship him. These are people not in the covenant. How much more should we be seeing the signs? We have to keep looking for the signs. We have to make sure, we should be expecting that God is going to bring signs that we're on the path. And if I'm not seeing the signs, I might be on the wrong path. I need to be looking around to see if I lost the path at some place, if I got on an exit when I wasn't supposed to. I thought God told me to go here, but I'm no longer seeing the signs. Maybe I need to get back where I was. We often think we're supposed to do something different and it doesn't work. And so we start even something different. And he's like, no, go back to where it was working. Yeah. Do that some more. Oh, but I told them I was supposed to leave. Go back. Go back and start over again. Hey, got it wrong. Well, glory to God, we all get it wrong sometimes. Let's try again. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay, amen. Keep looking for signs. Write this down. God protects what he births. God protects what he births. Watch this. In Matthew chapter 2, going on, it says, when they had gone, the Magi, they visited the baby Jesus. He wasn't actually a baby at that point. But when they had left, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Have you noticed the pattern here? An angel visits Joseph in a dream again and tells him to do what? Go to Egypt. What do Jews, what business do they have going to Egypt? God brought the Jews out of Egypt. He says, go to Egypt. Why? Because I'm God. Right? You better be hearing what he's saying today. Oh, he brought us out of Egypt, we're never going back. But God. I left Delray, I said, I'm never going back. But God. God spoke to me so very clearly. I'm like, you delivered me from here. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me. He said, no, this is your town. You're going back. Whoa, what are we talking about here? God brought me back. God will protect it, but you need to keep listening. It's a settled thing. Like, you have to be tracking with him. Matter of fact, in verse 19, he tells him again, you know, after he told him to go to Egypt, verse 19, he gets another visitation. Get out of Egypt. Okay, God, where do we go? Verse 22, go to Israel, where you told me to leave. Yes. If he didn't listen in each of these instances, Jesus would have been murdered. He had to stay connected. He had to keep looking. He had to keep being obedient. Are you with me? God will protect what he births. If it's on you, it's on you. Final thing, Mike, if you'll come. Final thing I want you to remember. Keep listening. Keep listening to God. Read your Bible, pray, worship. But Joseph knew how God talked to him. Joseph didn't just have a prophetic dream and blow it off. Some of you, God has spoken to you. He said things to you more than once. You need to respond. You need to respond. You need to respond. God talks to me this way, and he said this. Well, then you might want to listen. We might want to respond. It might be the key to our breakthrough right now. It might be opening. I just feel like there's people right now that God has spoken to in this room. And God, you just thought he was going to do something so magnificent through you. And there's just a responding that hasn't happened. I don't know who this is for in this room exactly. I think I do. I'm lying a little bit, but God, I don't know why, but there's a musical thing on this house. You know that. We have written songs since we were in outreach. And God, there's people in this room that are, you have a call to worship on your life. And it's not going to start with you on the stage. It's going to start with you alone with God in the secret place. Doing that thing before him, before he ever puts you in front of people. And I just see visitations for some of you in the secret place. In him pouring out his heart. Wow. Close your eyes with me if you would. We're going to stand in a second, but I just feel like God is doing something right now. God wants to, he wants to visit. But we're not quiet enough to hear him. Now, in the case of Joseph with Jesus, the birth of Jesus was such a sacrifice for Joseph. The shame that would come upon Joseph for marrying this woman who everybody believed had slept around before Joseph and she got married. And so he had to raise a boy that everybody knew wasn't his. At least initially. Or if it was his, it was pregnant out of wedlock. And Joseph had to carry that shame, knowing that it was all God. I don't see Joseph running around saying, no, it's God. No, it was God. No, defending himself. He's had to trust God. And some of you, God wants to do something significant. Hear me, in you. That thing in the secret place, that thing in this, if it never goes beyond the secret place, it's going to change your life. Stop, you know, looking at encounters, looking about how you're going to export them or what they're going to do for you with other people. This makes sense? Stop, like, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to look good and people are going to stop or people are going to recognize me or people are, no, for you, getting healed. With you and God. And again, I just see the Spirit of God resting. I just see the Spirit of God cheering you on. I see Holy Spirit just celebrating your steps of faith. Celebrating every time you do the right thing, even though it felt like scary. And you wanted to do something else. I want to pray now. I want to activate dreams, visions, prophetic signs in your life. Some of you, like, you're called to that. Well, let me say it this way. We're all called to that. But I want to pray for those who are hungry for that today. And if that's you, I want to know who I'm praying for. If you'll just stand, I want to pray that God would activate this in your life. Shekaba, laba. Mm. Ha! We know we can trust you, God. We know that we can trust you, Jesus. We know we can trust you, Jesus, because you're a very good God. You're very good to us. Come on, just put your hands out. Like, whatever, just get in a position of receiving. Those of you who are standing, just like, put your hands out and just like, God, I'm ready to receive. Because this spiritual thing is as real as if I gave you a gold coin or I gave you keys to a car. This is as real as that, as I gave you medication to alleviate a sickness or the keys to a house or the code to get in a safe. This is as real as that. And God is going to give some of you something that's going to give you access to something you did not have before. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this world that is lost and fallen. Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm going to pray for those standing right now. After service, if you need someone to lay hands on you, if you need healing in your body, you need deliverance, you need to come to Jesus, there's going to be a prayer team right here at the front. I want you to come up and have somebody just lay hands on you and declare good things over you. But I want to pray for everybody standing right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would testify with these people right here who are standing. Those watching by way of video who are responding to this. That you would testify with them. Both by signs, by wonders, by various miracles, and by gifts of Holy Spirit, according to your will, according to your will, Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would activate the singers, you would activate the psalmists, we activate the prophets. We activate the miracle workers, Jesus. Those who will lay down their lives and love the unlovable, Father. You would activate that in their hearts, Jesus. That you would provoke, Father, visitations. That you would send angels to begin visiting people's lives, Father. That in their prayer time, angels would show up. That in their prayer time, your presence would show up. You would manifest in signs and wonders. Come on, am I the only one praying here? I feel like I'm the only one praying. Father, that you would manifest in their lives right now. You would manifest in their lives right now. I declare in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, visitations of the Holy Spirit. I'd prophesy a season of visitation that they would begin to look for you. I pray, Father, that they would see sales receipts and the amount would match up with scriptures that they had seen even that day. That you would confirm what you're doing through road signs and through nature and visitation of animals and weird stuff like the amount of money in their pocket, Lord. Ways that you know how to do that no one else does. Shekaba. We thank you in advance, Father. We give you all the glory when it happens. Turn and face somebody near you and say, I declare a season of visitation in your life. I declare a season of visitation in your life. And I declare you're going to be aware of the visitation. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We give a clap offering to the Lord.